Snack Bar Games Podcast. Welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 228. I'm Graham. He's Jeff. He's Sean. He's Andrew. And he's Chris. And we're here. And this is a podcast. Probably.
Hopefully.
Eventually.
It might be.
How's it going, guys?
Can't complain.
Not bad.
News time, Sean. News time.
News.
First news is we are getting Lego Lord of the Rings.
Yay! Is that official?
It was inside boxes of the new Lego Lord of the Rings characters that were being sold at the Lego stores.
Great.
So I would say that's official.
That felt inevitable.
Just me, or was anyone surprised that it wasn't already a product line before now?
A little bit.
I'm going to be honest. I'm completely, totally sick of LEGO games. I don't think they've been very good in a long time. But...
You know,
I love Lord of the Rings. And I'm willing to give it a chance. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think after maybe the first two LEGO Star Wars games, it was incredibly important that you like the source material.
Yeah, I mean...
The most compelling game. But those first two were like, oh, this is pretty cool. But after that, it's like, well, you know, I've played a Lego game before. This is one of those.
I think for me with the first Lego Star Wars, it was more like, wow, this is actually a compelling game. It's not just some crap that they put out on the market.
Yeah, that had such low expectations going into that very first Star Wars game. It's like, what, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, there are things they could do with Lego Lord of the Rings. Like, say, anything at all.
Lego Legolas.
Oh, man. The pun potential is endless.
Oh, gosh.
That is the sole reason that Andrew will get the game is for the puns.
I will try anything for puns, honestly.
And then the sad, dejected look will enter in when he realizes that LEGO games have no voice.
Well, actually, I don't know about this one in particular, but I know the new LEGO Batman game is supposed to have them talking, which to me is just like, that was kind of one of the quirky things about those games is they didn't talk, they just kind of made odd gestures and noises. There's actual voices in the new one, in the new LEGO Batman game.
Yeah,
I don't get
that,
it.
That's one of the things that really makes a LEGO game.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, I mean, blocks.
That's the other thing.
That's blocks. Okay.
The Legos.
Yeah.
Blocks and implied dialogue.
I would love them to release a game called LEGO Lord of the Rings, but it just looks completely realistic. Just trick everyone.
And they just don't talk?
That'll wait for the LEGO Minecraft game.
They just don't talk.
It'd just be a normal Lord of the Rings game, but if they zoom in on the One Ring, it's made of Legos.
Yes, that's it.
Done.
No, it's literally just the rings themselves that are made of Legos.
Okay.
Everything else is okay.
It's actually, they just took Aragorn's quest and then just replaced the ring in it.
Lord of the Legos.
Exactly. No one will ever know because no one played Aragorn's quest.
Nope. I have because I try to play all of those games, but we don't want to talk about that.
Let me ask you this, since you try to play all of Lord of the Rings games.
I try to, anyway.
Have you played the Super Nintendo Lord of the Rings game?
I have not. See that, like, okay, what I should say, probably since the awful, awful Fellowship game.
Okay.
PS2 and Xbox, I've tried to play all of them. So I should start going backwards now, since we're starting to look low on them.
I've just heard such things about that game.
Is it just like a side scroller? Is it a?
It's like it's an action RPG ish thing. Hmm. It supports the SNES multi-tap.
Oh, and okay. So co-op.
It's also simultaneously panned as one of the worst Super Nintendo games of all time. But to me, it supports the multi-tap, So that easily puts it in the top 25.
This is why I'm surprised you don't have it then.
It's kind of rare, and rarer because it is a Lord of the Rings item.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Lord of the Rings, Lego, something. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. Whatever. I mean, maybe like Lego Hobbit, because the Hobbit's a thing that's now. Now's
probably get that next.
That'll be Lego Lord of the Rings 3.
3? What happened to 2?
2 will be, I don't know, something good.
Okay.
2 will, for some reason, just
two,
be...
2 will be the original Lord of the Rings, but the director's edition.
It'll just be the Tom Bombadil. Just that.
Oh, yeah, that's all the time. Yeah, Lego Lord of the Rings 2, Tom Bombadil.
Yep.
Okay.
I'd play that for like...
You would be the only one.
No. I would play it too. As I just said.
Depends what it would be. You know, what? I feel like it should play like Pa Rappa the Rapper.
You know what? I'm sold.
All right. Sean, more news.
More news. Bioshock Infinite was delayed until February 26th, 2013. Until a specific date.
And it's also not going to be at E3. So we're not going to see anything of that game until...
We will not see anything until next year.
Next year, probably.
That's probably not true.
Or, well, probably later this year. It'll be a while before we see
Maybe September.
See something I'll say September. Sometime before the holiday season gets crazy.
Yeah. And they're like, hey, this game still exists. Don't forget about it.
And watch as there will be a huge media push late December.
Probably.
Because what will happen is 2K will want to sell the stuff they have right now this holiday. And then that's typically what they do. As soon as all like the PR reps get back from holiday break,
like, all right,
January 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, trailers every day. Watch. Yep. But yeah.
Now, there was some speculation, just to go a little off topic. There was some speculation.
We don't allow that.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I should just not say that ever, because it's always going to be... Okay. But there was some talk that this might also lead the way for GTA 5 to come out in October. But, I mean, I know because they're both kind of... 2K and Rockstar both live under the Take-Two roof, but...
I don't think GTA 5 they make any GTA decisions based on anything else.
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe, Call of Duty. Like, maybe avoiding Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly.
But Bioshock, despite being critically acclaimed, I mean, it was not nearly the seller that a GTA is. Like, it's not. It's like talking about, you know, now that Metroid's moved out of the way, then maybe we'll get that Zelda game.
it's more about just crowding
maybe
the market.
Mario game.
It's more about crowd, like having two big games in the same month under that big parent company.
Sure.
But at the same time, like I don't think either way GTA 5 would come out this year because Rockstar seems at this point to be a one game a year company, and that one game a year is usually pretty big. This year we got Max Payne, last year LA Noire, etc. So
that's true. That said, I'm not sure if there's ever a title they've released like of the titles they've released recently.
Mm-hmm.
Max Payne 3. And we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Seems most like a standalone experience.
And
I mean, you can maybe speak to this a little more, but I feel like when you finish playing that game.
Oh, yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's not going to be a big, you know, Max Payne 3 expansion in October or, you know.
They're really pushing
not really. I mean, maybe multiplayer DLC, but it's not like. You know, LA Noire had all those cases, and Red Dead Redemption had all, you know, that crazy stuff. Like, it's not...
Zombies.
And it's certainly not GTA. And GTA maybe wouldn't share the year with something else, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something they're working on.
I think what I'm trying to say is GTA 5 is big enough on its own that Rockstar can just release that and just say, yep, we're done with, you know, 2013. This is it. Enjoy this, because this is all you'll have for the rest of the year.
No, this is true. Yeah. I just think when GTA 5 is ready...
Yeah,
that is the exact moment GTA 5 will release.
they will release it the day after they finish it.
It has an instant and enormous base that is not like I don't think people are like, oh, I was gonna get GTA 5, but I don't know, I really want this other stuff. Like, no, basically, if you're gonna get GTA 5, you're gonna get GTA 5.
Yeah,
just whenever.
Am I the only person
who
thinks... And
also, it's big money and they want it now because they're a company.
Yeah.
Am I the only one here that wonders whether it'll even be as good as Saints Row 3, though?
No, you're not.
No, but I think they're
I think it will be better than Saints Row the Third. Whether it will be more fun than Saints Row the Third, I highly doubt.
I'm going to say
it'll be more technically proficient.
I'm going to say that they are so completely different outside of just the fact that outside of how Saints Row started, they are so completely different now that there's really no comparison. But I get the idea that the comparison would come up still. At the same time, I as much as I like Saints Row 3, looking back on GTA 4, I still think that is one of my favorite games.
Hated GTA 4.
I know you did. I know.
The driving. Camera.
I might be the one person who really enjoyed the driving in GTA 4, but...
Yep.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
If they want to do one thing to make me like it, fix the driving and make it more like Saints Row.
Or they could just, you know, they could just get rid of cars and put horses in because the horse controls in Red Dead Redemption were fantastic. So
just but still have it be, you know,
so it'll be Grand Theft Horse.
It'll be Southern California, but everyone will be on horses. You can steal cars, but you need to tow them with horses.
Horses and buggies too.
No,
GTA 5 is GTA 5 is actually an Oregon Trail remake.
I would buy it. They should have made an Oregon Trail style DLC for Red Dead Redemption now that I think about it. I don't know how, but that would have been kind of cool.
I feel like if anyone's going to do something like that, it would be that. That doesn't seem like Rockstar would put something like that.
No, not at all. But
maybe, you know.
I don't know. They made.
Bizarre Creations would have done it.
This is why.
Anything Twitch the Pixel will be allowed to do, they'd do it.
This is why I'm kind of sad that Red Dead Redemption never came out for the PC, because that probably would have been a mod for that game. So
they'll do something crazy, like put zombies in the Old West.
Yeah, who would do that?
That's insane. Like,
I don't know.
It's like putting multiplayer in Max Payne and something. Rockstar wouldn't do
that. I don't.
After Grand Theft Horses comes Grand Theft Rickshaws.
But about Bioshock, though. I'm not sure.
What?
is that what we were talking about?
Yeah, talking about.
Believe it or not, I'm not too upset about this because October's kind of already crowded a little. RE6 and
Never.
Assassin's Creed and Dishonored and something else I might be forgetting.
I don't care.
That was my next news item. Games.
Well, I know you don't.
None of them.
Most people do.
And then so. November has Hitman and, you know, Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah, that little indie title.
The little indie title.
Whatever.
I'm excited about Bioshock Infinite, though.
Okay, but you can be excited later.
I'm going to be excited later. Right now, I'm going to put my excitement in a box and then put that in the closet and then just take out the excitement for other games. Like, I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but other games.
Okay.
How about Dishonored, since it's arriving in October?
Did you accidentally take your knowledge about games and put it in the box with your excitement?
I think I just did.
Okay.
I think I need to go for a minute, guys. Like, I don't know anything about video games anymore.
More excitement for Rayman Origins because it's coming to 3DS.
Oh, hey, yep.
Yeah. Well,
surprise, that thing they already announced is still happening.
Yeah. I heard the demo wasn't that great, so I don't know. If people want to buy that version, sure. More Rayman love.
All right, yep. How about this, Andrew? Are you excited about Lost Planet 3?
I think that's a no.
Okay. Well, how about Lost Planet X Troopers on the 3DS and the PS3?
I watched the trailer for that, and I didn't even realize it was a Lost Planet related game until like halfway through the trailer. I'm like, what?
I'm way more interested in that than I am too. A Lost Planet game.
Yeah, that looks like the best Lost Planet game ever. It's not even called Lost Planet. It's fantastic.
The press release.
It's like Lost Planet. It makes it a great Lost Planet.
It's like the most ridiculous thing ever. A school-themed beginner's action shooter with a snow pirate that can talk to bugs, and it will have anime-style visuals, and it'll be written or produced by the Monster Hunter dude.
I think we can just write it down, Game of the Year. With this, we're done. Vacation, guys.
Hey!
You don't need the rest of the year, which is... That's it. Video games are over, you guys.
I think it's kind of weird that it's coming out on PS3 and then 3DS. And not
I assume that's because of the two big Japanese systems.
Well, yeah, probably.
And they're the two big systems supported by the Monster Hunter team, which seems to be who's working on this.
Yeah, I'm just patiently waiting for Monster Hunter to come to the Vita, because it seems like that's the thing that the Vita needs, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Correct.
But anyway, this game.
So, when this sells more copies than Lost Planet 3, will Capcom go insane?
This will not sell more copies than Lost Planet 3.
In Japan, it might.
In Japan, it might, but, again, Lost Planet 3 has this ridiculous success.
Really? It's being made by Spark Unlimited. There's no way it's any good.
I'm not saying it's going to be good, but it wasn't good before and people bought it. So I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, I think overall Lost Planet 2 was a bit of a sales disappointment compared to the first game. But still,
yeah, I mean, it sold less than the first game, but it sold.
It sold. It did.
As opposed to other things.
Other things that should have sold.
Yeah, like all of the other things. Why? Why did people buy
everything
that?
Else?
Anyway.
Well, here's one thing that hopefully will sell that should sell. Sly Cooper will be headed to the Vita as well.
Okay.
I'm happy about this.
Good. I have never played Sly Cooper before, but I finally watched the trailer for the new one, and now I want to play all of them.
Sean, how long have you had PlayStation Plus?
I've had it for 6 months on accident.
a few months ago, they offered Sly 1 in HD as a free download. Did you get that?
I did not. I don't think I had it then.
But
I got it right before, I got it for the Valkyria Chronicles 2 discount. Whenever that was.
You've had it for 6 months. Then,
I think it was like in October.
Yeah, this was like February?
Yeah.
Anyway,
maybe I downloaded it and didn't know. I've downloaded a bunch of stuff and didn't.
If you did, you should go play it. Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'll
see you guys later. I'm gonna go check.
Like basically, to me, the Sly Cooper games are pretty good. Like I don't love them, but they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Generally, it's not one of those things where the first game was really bad. You know,
mm-hmm.
They're all pretty solid. I don't think the gameplay had evolved that much over the three.
No, that was my problem. Is like the first game for me, I liked a lot, and then I played the second one. I think that was not a bad game, but I was expecting a little more, and they added some new stuff, but the new stuff they added wasn't super great. And then three tried to go back to what one was, but in the same time it was decent. But at that point, I was I've had enough of Sly Cooper.
Right, but basically. You know, one is representative of the whole series.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So go play it.
Yeah.
But so the new one, it will be on the PS3 and the Vita. They have not yet determined whether they were going to let people buy one and get both, which means that's not happening. but there is a save sharing that they're going to let you do.
Transferring?
No.
Oh.
It's only transferring for Metal Gear.
Oh.
So only Konami games. Which they have not yet used it.
Well, I think it worked for Peace Walker, but that's about it. And I think it's also going to worked for the Vita collection, the Vita HD collection,
which will come out next month when everybody's going to be too busy doing other things.
It comes
Good
out
timing.
The same day that Gravity Rush comes out.
Oh.
Yep. I think everyone. I hope everyone.
Wait, what? Gravity Rush. What day is that? June.
June 12th.
12th. Yeah, so it's the Monday after E3.
Yeah.
Why?
Basically, you're tired after E3, you just want to kick back with a Vita, and you want to play Gravity Rush, that's what.
I really think what they should have done, or should do, they still have the chance, is to move it up, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think they should have released it. I think they should have released it this month, because nothing.
Every year, there's always that game that basically the entire games media packs with them at E3 and plays in downtime.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
That could have been that game where it's like, hey, for some reason, all week, all of our news stories on our big news site happened to all mention Gravity Rush. What is happening? But,
yeah.
I'm convinced last year that was the 3DS spot passes.
I think so.
Oh, well, street pass.
Street pass.
Could, no one was using anything.
Could be worse. It could be released the week of E3, which is where
Infamous 2?
Yeah, there's always one game that gets virtually ignored by all of the gaming press because they're all at E3 while it's releasing.
See, I think if you're going to release your game during E3, and I'm okay with it, It's just got to be a surprise announcement, and then, hey, it's released.
You mean like the day of?
Yep.
Like, hey guys, Gravity Rush is out, and yep. We're selling copies at E3.
Yep, but, done.
Yeah.
Well, but not that, but you know, Gravity Rush is already a game that you know about.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, just like that, that would be
just Secret Project.
Oh, Secret Project?
Hey, we're introducing you to this game. Oh, and you can buy it right now. They've done small things. Yeah. When they announced DSiWare. Remember DSiWare?
Hey, I have some DSiWare games.
At E3 2009, I believe? Yeah, 2009. They said, hey, the DSiWare shop you guys have been waiting for a couple months. It's live now, and hey, we have this Mario versus Donkey Kong game, and it's out. So,
go play it.
But I wish they'd do that on a larger scale, and they could do that with, like, Vita games. Be like, hey, guess what? Especially if it's download only, which, I mean, honestly, Gravity Rush could get by with doing.
I suppose.
But you should be like, hey, guess what? You want to play Gravity Rush? Go ahead, play it. Yep. Last year, didn't they do something with the eShop? Didn't they release the eShop on that day?
Last year, wasn't it Four Swords Adventure?
That came out in July. But okay. Sean, you were there with me. Didn't they like finally launch the eShop, and then basically anyone there with a 3DS like kept trying to get their 3DS to work with the hotel wireless settings and failing because it's like, I want to get Link's Awakening, and then I couldn't do it. Yep,
yes, no, they did that and the Pokemon Pokedex app,
oh,
and
yes,
no one could get any
3D.
Of them. Yeah, no one could get any of them downloaded.
Well, no one needed Pokedex 3D.
Pokedex 3D, our game of the year 20.
There's a sequel.
Yeah.
And Pokedex this one is not free.
Pro. It's like $10, isn't it?
It was $15 in Japan.
Oh God.
So, but this one, this is for all the Poke professionals, you know.
This one you don't have to unlock with AR cards. Because, you know, that succeeded so well last time.
Yeah, I was thinking it was just like, here's a preview of this thing that's going to be how the Pokedex works in our 3DS Pokemon game, which would be okay with me. And even now, if they sold something that worked with, like, your save files on your game, to like, here's what you have, and here are your moves, and then manage your moves in this 3D thing, but then it goes back to this regular DS game, or, what, you know, whatever.
So, like, Stadium.
Yep.
Which was the last time any 3D Pokemon was good.
Stadium 2 was alright.
Yeah, I meant the Stadium. The two Stadium games. The N64.
I wanted to make sure that people never, ever play Pokemon Battle Revolution.
I own that.
Or Gale of Darkness.
It's worth money now for some reason.
It's because everything, like, random, like Skies of Arcadia and all that good stuff, but also bad things are also worth money because nobody wants them.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
They stopped making them.
Right.
Yep.
Pokemon Puzzle League was awesome. I just want to say that.
Right. Again, N64.
Well, let's talk about that. Pokemon Puzzle League for the Game Boy Color was awesome.
The N64
Pokemon Puzzle League
for the
N64
was
fine as long as your TV is permanently set to mute. throw power tools at your speakers, and that is a great game. Otherwise, it has the same four TV show clips over and over again throughout the whole thing. Seriously.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I want to kill people for that. Sorry, I picked up that game again last summer for $1 at a thrift shop because I love doing that kind of thing. But put it in, it's like, hey, I get to play Puzzle League. Well, oh, every time I make a like match, it has like, oh yeah, you can do it. Like, oh God.
The voice actor for Bulbasaur slowly going hoarse.
Yes. That happens all the time, and I hate it. All right. Anyway, what were we talking about?
various releases.
We were talking about actually Sly Cooper, you know?
What?
Did that start from Sly Cooper? Really? All right.
Yeah, we did, actually.
Yeah, so it looks decent. That looks like a pretty good game.
That's not Sucker Punch developed. That's developed by the guys that did the HD collection, right?
Sanzaru Games. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. I wonder what Sucker Punch is actually doing. Maybe Infamous 3? Maybe Infamous 3? That's all I've got.
Maybe
Sprocket Robot on Wheels 2.
Infamous Zero.
Whoa.
The Infamous.
The Infamous.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. It's actually going to be a Kinect singing and dancing game. It's going to be called Famous.
Infamous Karting.
Even though they're owned Sony, they will make a Kinect game.
You can't make a kart game until you have 3 games in your series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not counting Festival of Blood then?
No.
So then Sly Cooper the card game?
Can this one have a karting minigame then? Since it had there was a third smaller game, it can be a smaller karting game.
Maybe.
Is that just Little Big Planet karting at that point?
That might be.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for Uncarted.
I'm not waiting for that.
Oh, why not?
Because I made it. I have it.
Oh.
It's and a secret.
You should share that with us.
No.
Are you telling me this is the game that's going to be randomly released at E3?
No. No, I'm not giving it to anyone.
Okay.
It's pretty good, guys.
Are you going to let Rhode Island announce it for you?
No. No. I made sure to get all of my funding from states that...
Don't do that.
States that don't go out and spill beans. They're a little tight-lipped about that kind of stuff. You just got to find the states that, you know, have, like... higher
extra
death
money.
Penalty rates and things like that. They know what to keep quiet.
You're saying we should get funding from Texas?
I'm not. I can't disclose that information.
We're not ready to talk about that at this time.
Yes, sorry. Okay, let's actually... What news?
The last things? Piece of news.
Last piece of news is Rhode Island announces Copernicus will release in 2013.
Yeah.
June 2013.
Okay, the idea of that is hilarious.
Lincoln Chafee says...
Are they gonna? It would be even funnier if there it said Rhode Island somewhere on the box or in the game and in the menus or something. Powered by Rhode Island.
If the loading screens are all just picturesque views of Providence and
come visit Rhode Island today. Yep.
Sponsored by the Rhode Island Tourism Bureau.
But I guess that is pretty big news. The fact that that's actually happening. But the fact
who knows? That's one thing someone in a meeting told Leek and Chafee.
Yeah, it's probably not.
But it's still really funny.
just the entire news story that went on all last week about 38 Studios and their debt and with Rhode Island. And
it's like, hey guys, we need more money. Oh, you're not going to give us more money? Oh, we have to pay you that money? Oh, here's the check. Oh, that check didn't. Guys, you know, we just handed you that check. But it's probably not going to go through, so you just kind of don't put that check in yet.
Yeah.
What?
I feel kind of bad.
They're going to go under. I feel confident in saying that. That
I just want to know what
happened. Maybe
someone
will pick up their IP, but they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, I hope nothing happens to Big Huge Studios, the guys that made... The first Omelure game because
did
I mean
they buy them or was it just a
I'm not
no,
sure
they bought them
did they
yeah they bought Big Huge Studios a long time ago.
Okay. I hope they get sold, at least sold off to a decent company, because
that might help them make payroll to go ahead and sell off those guys if they were working on a follow-up to Reckoning. Honestly, that game never needed to be in the Omelure world. They can reskin that sucker and
exactly.
I wouldn't care.
You could just call it Reckoning 2.
You can just call it Fable 4. Microsoft can buy them, and it'll just be done. Great. Done.
But honestly, I think what I've played, which isn't very much, to be honest, but what I've played of Reckoning was actually pretty good. Now, I would hate to see... It seemed like a promising start for what could be a decent fantasy franchise.
That doesn't seem like a studio that should go under.
Yeah, I would hate to see something happen to them. Like, of course, I don't want 38 Studios to go under either because there's a lot of people... you know, there that probably right. doing good work that we haven't seen yet because they've been working on that MMO for like half a decade.
But, right, but they have been working on something for half a decade and have nothing to show for it, so.
Well, they actually released a trailer, if you want to call it that, of like just like concept art and stuff, like saying, yeah. hey, this still exists. They released it the day Rhode Island announced the release date, so they're just like, yeah, here's this, we threw this together in like 5 minutes.
Did anyone go out and make sure that they just didn't like go take video of places in Rhode Island? And
no,
like, put like shiny objects to make it look fantasy in there. Like, oh, look, there's a gem on top of that tree. It means it's fantasy.
No, it was actual like concept art and stuff.
Oh,
so
fine.
Unless Rhode Island has changed since the last time I've been there.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know that they've been spending the money on something, right?
Kingdoms of Rhode Island.
I just want to know, was their publishing deal with EA the worst thing ever, or did they blow all the money they got from Reckoning somewhere?
Well, I mean, their deal with EA was purely for Reckoning, so I don't know what the deal was in that. If they made back the money they used to buy, if they made back the money they used to buy Big Huge, that would have been great for them, and they'd still be in the hole with this six-year-long MMO project.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The deal for Reckoning was also console only. On Steam, it's published by 38 Studios.
Hmm. I think they probably have some sort of marketing deal with them for that, too.
Yeah, it was a partner's title, so they can still. I think they could still release it on Steam and stuff like that.
It is on Steam.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, that's why it's on Steam. It's because it was never. It's not under the EA name. It's just they published it as one of the partner's games.
Yeah, so. I just imagine with the work EA did that it's part of the contract that they probably get some cut of that, too.
Mm-hmm. And I doubt, again, as for the MMO, I doubt that EA would want to back that, considering they have the Old Republic right now, which is their big MMO ticket right now, which I think is doing okay for them. I haven't been keeping up, though.
Yeah, it seems like it's doing okay for an MMO.
Yeah, well, against World of Warcraft, yeah.
I mean, it's not against World of Warcraft. You know what I'm saying? Like, it.
Well, I mean.
With every other MMO, Old Republic's doing pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, fine.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for like the servers to go under.
At the same time, if this Copernicus game does actually come out,
it's not.
Let's just say hypothetically.
Sure.
If it did come out, it would be coming out around the same time as, well, at least I would assume around the same time as Elder Scrolls Online. In which case, I think Copernicus wouldn't stand a chance. Even if there are a decent number of diehard Amalur fans now, which, you know, there could be.
No way. There's not.
Probably not. Not more than Elder Scrolls.
None of them are going to have enough money to buy the thing, because they won't have gotten paid for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
But I guess they're diehard fans. They want to see it succeed. So as long as it's free to play, they'll play it.
You know, honestly, at this point, if they're going to release this, then that would be the best route to take. But who knows?
Free to play within the state of Rhode Island. If you have a Rhode Island IP, you can play this game free because it's taxpayer funded.
Yeah, exactly. You're technically paying for it anyway, so you can just play the game for free.
Yep. So this is a little checkbox when you file your taxes. Like, I'd like you to send me a code for Kings of Amalur. Yep. Just like you designate money to the presidential election fund. Just be like, yep.
Next thing we'll see is a Kickstarter from them saying, help us pay our employees to finish this game.
A Kickstarter from Rhode Island?
that was started a long time ago, actually. I think.
What are the stretch goals for that?
I don't even know.
The first thing is you get to live in Rhode Island. The second one is you get to choose to not live in Rhode Island.
Yeah. What is you have
international been, backers? You can live $10 for shipping.
You can really live in Rhode Island for free now for a little while. The second option is now you have the ability to actually leave Rhode Island if you want. We will not keep you here. Just have to pay a little extra.
If we reach our stretch goals, we will buy Massachusetts.
They couldn't afford that.
No.
I don't care what stretch goals you reach, that's not happening.
I mean, it's a really ambitious Kickstarter
project.
It's record breaking.
1,000% funded.
Yep.
People in Rhode Island really wanted to own Massachusetts. I mean, man, they went all out.
Yep.
They need some help. I think they need some help from Connecticut.
Yep. Fine. All right. Anything else we want to cover in news before we move on?
No, not really.
That's about it.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about some games we've been playing. And, Jeff, we will start with you, because, I don't know, we're going to.
He played something, right?
Believe it or not, he's the only person here who has played Diablo 3. When you listen to every other podcast, it's everyone who has played Diablo 3. Here we only have one person.
Yep.
Yeah, that's partly my fault.
But you don't listen to every other podcast, you listen to our podcast. I didn't go digital.
Clearly, all of you have just been getting Error 37 the whole time.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. That's my excuse.
Sure. My excuse is that I went physical instead for something I should have gone digital for once.
If only by error 37 you mean the error code that implies that I didn't buy it at all. And yes, I got that error code a long time ago.
Yeah, see, I want to play any other game ever again, so I haven't started playing Diablo 3.
That's a good reason.
Yeah, that's why I haven't played WoW either.
My laptop is for internets. That's my excuse.
That's a good game.
Well, you need internets for this game.
Yes, though you really shouldn't.
Yep.
Yep.
Hey, so, Jeff, tell us about Diablo 3.
Yeah, how is Diablo 3?
Honestly, I'm obviously enjoying it a lot, but again, the always online thing is a bit awkward. I have had some disconnects.
Were you one of the people who were trying to access it at midnight on Monday night past week?
No, because I live in Atlantic time.
Oh, okay.
Atlantic time.
Were you the one trying to access it at 4?
No, I had work that day.
Okay.
I did not take time off work to play Diablo 3.
Yeah,
I had some people that did, and then they couldn't play.
I had a coworker whose spouse took the week off.
Store called me and said, we're canceling our midnight launch because even if people come in and buy this game, it's not going to be playable for another 4 hours.
Yeah, that does seem kind of, yeah.
So it was kind of like, I have the game downloaded and installed on my system and I can't
play. Yeah, plus with PC games, you know, like you don't need a midnight launch at a store for a PC game.
No.
You need a preload and a midnight unlock for that game.
Yep.
Yeah,
I did with one really bad game. Oh.
They did do a preload and everything, but only if you bought a digital copy from the Blizzard store.
Oh yeah, I think you can only play it at midnight if you got a digital copy and you actually preloaded it. So or preloaded rather, whatever you want to call it for digital
games. You could buy a physical copy and just install it, but
my copy's actually
a physical copy because I got the collector's edition.
Oh, hey.
It does look like a nice collector's edition, I will say that. But
What does it have in it? I haven't paid attention because I wanted to be a productive human being for the rest of my life.
What?
But if we tell you, then you won't be paying attention to it.
What is in the collector's edition?
He needs to know.
Usual stuff, soundtrack, art book,
and
a USB stick with Diablo 2 installed on it.
What?
Also the ability to not need servers.
No, unfortunately.
Diablo 2 is what you play when you can't access Diablo 3. Is that what it's for?
I
just wish it would be a special install where it's like any error code pops up, it just launches Diablo 2. Instead of giving you an error.
That would be kind of clever, actually.
You know, like the, I don't know if you're familiar with the Mitch Hedberg joke about escalator temporarily stairs. Yeah, sorry for the convenience. Stairs.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
I love that joke.
Temporarily, you're playing Diablo 2. Oh, okay, I don't mind that.
Yeah, I was playing Torchlight while I was waiting for my copy to come.
There you go.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people taking that path.
Or the Torchlight 2 beta, yeah.
And that has made all the difference.
Oh, I wish I was in the Torchlight 2 beta.
So, Jeff, what is your experience? Have you been playing Diablo since the first? Are you a hardcore Diablo fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Great.
The one thing. One thing I have noticed is, since it shares your friends list with World of Warcraft, my entire WoW friends list has been playing Diablo 3.
Yeah, well, wasn't there that deal, if you renewed for a year, you got it?
Yeah.
So, kind of everybody playing WoW has it, right?
If you're going to play WoW anyway...
You might as well.
You might as well, because it is basically giving you the game for free, because you're going to pay that money for the WoW subscription, regardless.
Yep.
So, how does it compare to the first two? Because I've heard is it's still good, but it is basically more of the same, just with some, you know, nice updates here and there.
Honestly, it's takes a lot of the stuff from two, mm-hmm. adds a lot of the stuff from Torchlight, and that works. That's basically what you get.
So Diablo 2 plus a Diablo clone.
Yeah, plus Diablo 3. Plus a bunch of MMO stuff.
Oh, okay.
Like, they have auction houses and everything. Which is
not online yet.
The controversial Real Money auction house is not online. It has been delayed 2 weeks by at this point.
A fake money auction house in place?
Yeah, you can use game money.
No money auction house. Yeah, it's a really cool auction house. You just go in and take stuff.
I like that the Real Money auction house caused a controversy. Then it wasn't available at launch, which also caused a controversy. People just can't make up their minds.
Real money auction house rage. What? Real money auction house rage.
Exactly.
Welcome to the internet gaming community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Need to chill. And
then, of course,
I think they're
Metacritic started downvoting it. So this is Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Oh, typical.
Yeah. But anyway,
I don't think this one has a developer publisher contract problem. Like,
no,
what was it? Fallout New Vegas had that issue where they basically would only get paid a significant amount of money if they got a Metacritic of 85 and they got a Metacritic of 84.
Yeah,
dumb.
But that was the actual critics Metacritic. I'm talking about users, which doesn't really.
Oh
mean
yeah, anything. The user score. Who?
Yeah.
Is anyone out there checking Metacritic for the user score? Anyone?
Nope.
No.
That's what the real gamers look at, guys. You know, they're trying to trick you with Mass Effect 3. Game's bad.
Yeah.
Plus the users.
So it's what the real gamers do.
Yeah.
Except for all those other gamers who aren't me, who disagree with me, they're really dumb.
Oh yeah.
So don't trust those guys. But me, my vote, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was totally a zero because the entire game was amazing and awesome and everything, and then the last 5 minutes sucked.
Yep.
Yep.
Diablo 3 had a lot of issues on the first day. And I think a lot of the complaints were probably justified there.
You know, I'm not sure you do.
But after that...
Let's talk about that. This is a single-player game.
Yes.
That has been in beta forever.
Yeah.
Two years, right?
Almost. It just needs to let people authenticate into a server, right? It's not an MMO. It's not doing multiplayer.
No, your games are being hosted on a server.
Yeah.
You are not hosting the game. If you create a game, you have a... It's like playing an MMO because you're actually playing on a server with just you on it.
To be fair, every Blizzard game has been like this, but also to be fair, every Blizzard
game... Not every
game
Blizzard
been,
game. I don't want to hear that.
Most Blizzard... Well, okay.
Lost Vikings was not like this.
What are you talking about? I had really totally good. Had to connect my Super Nintendo online to play that. No, but... okay, so I'd say since Diablo, since Battle.net, every Blizzard game has required an internet connection of some kind, and which is the problem because every Blizzard game since...
No.
StarCraft 1 didn't.
Okay, you know what?
They haven't required a connection since WoW. So WoW, StarCraft 2, and Diablo 3 all require connections to play.
I remember Diablo 2 and the original.
No, it requires it to play online, but you could play Diablo 2 single player.
I'm just gonna shut up now then. The point is they've been doing this for a while either way, so they should have been prepared for this considering how they knew how many people were ready to play this game at midnight.
Yeah. Also they run WoW. Like if anyone is experienced in how to like what the problems are with launching a hugely popular online game and how to be prepared for that, and two, just generally how to deal with large loads of people at once. Like, you're the guys that would do that. So,
and the worst part is that it broke WoW and StarCraft 2 when Diablo overloaded servers.
Yep. And yeah, it broke all three games, right?
I didn't try playing WoW when it came out, so.
As I understand, it also broke the website, so they couldn't communicate with anyone about it.
Yes, and then I do recall the forums went down as well.
And for whatever reason, my Super Nintendo copy of Lost Vikings wouldn't work either. I don't know. Maybe
weird. Yeah. But I mean, Rock and Roll Racing was all right. We're good.
Oh.
Okay.
Play Blackthorn? Nope.
Nope.
Oh man.
I understand for the whole the auction house stuff why it has to be online so that people can't dupe items and stuff like that with Diablo 2. I don't get why you can't say before you start a player, hey, this is never going to be online ever, don't connect to the servers.
That's how Diablo 2 worked. They had set.
They had online and they had non-online.
Yeah, they had online, which was like an MMO, and then they had what they called them open characters, which were basically on your system. You could hack them, do whatever, but they could never interact with the online characters.
I guess I remembered or misremembered Diablo 2's online stuff, because maybe I just played online all the time and didn't realize it. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, Diablo 2 is the way that everyone wants it to work, so that they can play offline.
Yep. It's a shame they didn't do that for this one. But
if you like Diablo, you already have Diablo 3, probably.
I feel like we haven't actually even talked about the game itself outside of, it's more Diablo.
Hey, Jeff has the game. Can you left-click?
Yes.
Can you right-click?
Many, many hundreds of times.
Can you scroll wheel?
Actually, I don't know if the scroll wheel does anything.
Oh, no.
Gotta test that out.
Never mind. I was going to get this game, but I don't know. If it doesn't let me scroll wheel.
But I guess the final question I would ask is does Diablo 3 live up to the hype? I feel like I need to ask that. It's important or something.
I would say it probably does.
Probably.
It really depends on what kind of hype you had. What you were expecting?
Like, is it a huge step forward from Diablo 2 outside of the the actual graphics and technical?
Not really. No, it's really? The game plays much faster, but other than that, not really.
That's probably what most people wanted anyway. They're happy with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can move on.
Yeah.
Yes, to StarCraft 2 too. Hopefully.
But the second one is a like 2 T-O-O question mark. StarCraft 2 2?
I don't know.
It's actually StarCraft 2 2. It's a StarCraft spinoff starring Desmond Tutu. In a tutu. That's pretty good. It plays like Diablo, though. It was weird.
Does it require an internet connection to play?
It does, which is a problem for Desmond Tutu.
Yes.
So the worst thing about StarCraft 2 requiring the internet connection is when they're at a tournament and the internet craps out.
And then everyone loses.
Then everyone gets kicked out.
Yeah. They all get kicked off of Battle.net.
There is no winner of the tournament today.
Because there's no LAN play.
Well, the good news is in Korea, where most of this happened, there's no good news. Internet. What?
There's no good news in Korea.
Well, not North Korea, no.
Only StarCraft.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say StarCraft is good news for Koreans. They like StarCraft. And as long as there's StarCraft, there's good news.
Like might be too weak for that.
Yeah.
Hey. What have you been playing?
I've been playing a little game called Max Payne 3.
Never heard of it.
What's that? Is that a sequel to something?
It's the third game in the Diablo series.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Oh.
I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, they just wanted to switch up the name,
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, get rid of, they don't. They're like, we don't need brand recognition.
Okay.
We're just gonna call it something entirely different.
Somebody else's brand recognition.
Some actually substantive talk in here for just a second.
Okay.
So, Rockstar took over that series. Remedy did the first two. It's been a really long time, and kind of what those first two games were wouldn't necessarily work right now.
So
what is this game? How is it good? Because it doesn't sound like that could be good.
Okay, yes. A lot of people would think that, but it works for the most part. Okay, so the thing is with this, I think with me when I first approached this game, even just putting it into my system for the first time after watching, you know, all the trailers and stuff, I wasn't sure how they were going to approach this game, like in terms of the actual, you know, gameplay hooks and whatnot that the first two had. Like, were they gonna? Obviously, they were gonna have bullet time in it, but how were they?
Obviously, no hair at all.
Yeah, there's plenty of it, but it's just at a certain point they chop it off.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so Remedy had such a distinct style with the first two games that I think a lot of people were kind of upset that Rockstar was going in a different direction. I mean, the game still is very noir-ish, and it's very dark, and it's, you know, Max is still a raging alcoholic, and he likes his painkillers and everything. He still, you know, narrates everything that happens in his life, things like that.
Like we all do.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I try to, anyway. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so it's in terms of that, it's very similar, but they got rid of the comic book style of the first two games, and because of that, the game feels a little more grounded in reality, and I say that about a game where you could shoot grenades out of midair and make them explode and kill enemies that are through it, but again, okay, more grounded in reality in the fact that I think it just takes itself a little more seriously. Not to say the first two games didn't, but they were there was plenty of serious material in the first two games. The presentation kind of was a little less serious. This game is kind of going for a, I would say, this is something that a lot of people have brought up. It's more like a movie like presentation in terms of the quality of the cutscenes, the way, yeah, the it's hard to explain. It's kind of something you have,
well,
to see.
Well, like,
yourself.
Would it be safe to say that much in the way the Grand Theft Auto aesthetic changed from the PS2 to Grand Theft Auto 4, mm-hmm, the aesthetic from Max Payne games, it changed in a similar way toward more gritty realism.
Yes, yes, okay. And just in terms of the actual presentation, the way it's presented, it's more like a think of Candy Lynch 2, the handheld camera effects.
I'll try not to.
Okay, I like Candy Lynch 2. But yeah, it's more like that in terms of how it's presented. It's, you know, the there's lots of split screen. They highlight important words on the screen at times. It's very in your face with the presentation, which might annoy some people. I thought it was fine. It get a little much at times when there was like five different split screens on the screen at once, and you're like, okay, I get it. These things are happening, and this thing is happening. A little much at times. But
I want more split screens.
You want more split screens.
I want people to all be able to control split screens.
If
you have five split screens, I need to be able to have five people.
That's actually the multiplayer. You just control the different split screens of the cutscenes. That's the multiplayer.
I'll buy it right now.
All right, go for it. Let me know what you think.
I guess just finish the podcast first.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But yeah, so Rockstar has kind of made this series their own while still keeping to similar things that made the first two games successful in terms of the storytelling and whatnot. So that all works, you know. Max's voice actor returns. His name escapes me right now, but he's still fantastic. The story is kind of standard, and it's separate enough from the first two games that you can go into this without having played those. Although there are still some references and things that you will fly right over your head. But and then there's the gameplay. They added, okay, so Max Payne has always been about bullet time, slowing down, being able to shoot guys, you know, get more precision, you know, do the cool air dive where you're shooting in midair with two pistols. That's all there. But what they added was a cover system, which makes, of course, you know, it's a third-person shooter. You need a cover system. And I think based on how games are developed these days, to not have a cover system would have been a little silly. I don't know how to explain this, but it would have felt weird. Because based on, you know, my experience with third-person shooters, I would have been trying to get into cover every 5 seconds, but instead just be standing there looking at a wall like an idiot. So it would have been weird. But I think they take it and they use it really well, as in, like, they find a way to shape the different gun battles you have, many shootouts around cover. But at the same time, it makes the fights a little more methodical. So it's not about you just trying to use bullet time as much as possible. It's you just trying to survive, which, you know, so part of that includes using bullet time, but you can go through a lot of the game without using it, which kind of, to me, is one of my big problems with the game. Is there's a huge disconnect between the old mechanics and the new, and there's really no way for them to combine the two, at least in this game, that I've seen without ditching one or the other. So I don't know. I don't know if they had to really struggle to find a good balance, but for the most part, they did okay. But having this bullet time, and then also having this cover system, it kind of ruins the purpose of the bullet time. It's like the bullet time was to help to get you out of these tough situations, but now you have cover, and you can use that pretty much stay in cover during entire fights and never have to use the bullet time. So the thing that made Max Payne isn't as much of a thing in this game. But at the same time, it still is, because there are moments where they're just like, okay, now you're in slow motion. Shoot these guys real quick. And I'm like, oh, okay. So if that makes sense, then that is the big problem with Max Payne, but also something to get right, because the cover system works really well.
Cool.
Yeah. Honestly, it's a lot of fun. Again, it reminds me a lot of the first two games, but it improves on some things by making the story a little more serious and making Max's character a little he's still kind of like chugging down bottles of pills and drinking, you know, so much booze in this game that I'm surprised he didn't just collapse in the middle of like a firefight or something.
Like, that would be awesome.
That would be kind of cool. They had a feature where if you could actually OD on the pain pills. But no, there's something like that. So it's a little, you know, again, silly in that regard. But, you know, they actually address that stuff pretty well in the story. And despite my problems with the disparity between the old mechanics and the new, it's still a lot of fun. The controls are really tight. The shooting mechanics work perfectly. You know, the level design is amazing, and every new area you encounter is something new and interesting. And I think they did a really good job of updating the formula while still remaining true to what made it famous or popular in the first place. But there needs to be more, and that more isn't adding multiplayer, because multiplayer isn't that great. But
yeah, okay.
Anyway,
So Max Payne.
That's Max
pretty
Payne.
Good.
Really,
could have been better, but could have been good, significantly worse.
But teetering on fantastic, like it could have a little more balance with the mechanics. That's all I would have liked. But what are you gonna do? We got a new Max Payne game after what, 10 years, a little less, 8 years. So I'm happy about that.
Okay. Cool.
That's that.
Okie doke. All right. For the sake of time, let's go ahead and move on to our main topic. Hey, what is our main topic, guys?
Well, we recently ran the 12 best Wii games to own forever feature, which is, you know, kind of kicking off something new that we're doing. And
yeah, and we'll have more installments of that over the summer.
Yep, next one is PS, so that should be fun.
And I discovered that there were 12 Wii games worth owning at all.
Shut it.
I'm surprised that joke wasn't made sooner, but yeah, there you go.
There were games we cut off that list that are still pretty good games.
Yeah,
there are, but not that many.
Yeah. To be fair, I think we would have probably peaked out at 20 at the most. We might have been stretching it a little, but
Puna is not on that list, so we could.
I didn't even bother to list it because I knew that no one else would fight for it with me.
We actually had a total of 21 listed in our discussion document. I just counted.
I would bet that I don't own but like 5 of them.
Probably
well,
not.
Hey,
although I do
there
own
are a lot of
like
people
15...
like you, and that's why we made the list, so that you would get them.
Hey, I do own a lot of Wii games. They're just not the ones that people consider worth owning, I guess.
That may be the problem.
Half of them are Harvest Moon games.
That is the problem.
Yeah.
People consider them worth owning, just not forever.
But yeah,
I think even the fact that people consider them worth owning is kind of a problem. But
I think you're a problem.
Oh what?
Yeah. Dumb face.
Oh man.
Andrew's dumb face.
You know what? I'm done with this podcast. I'm just gonna clearly
Andrew does not know what he's talking about, as he was told.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I don't.
As has been established by perennial all-star gaming journalist Ben Kachera. Andrew, dumb face.
I have, yes.
As a big and dumb face.
Ben Kachera has told me once that I have a big dumb face, and I honestly can't disagree. So.
Yeah, so.
He speaks the truth. He's done his research. He knows. He's on top of this.
I really want to know what you told him that made him realize the truth.
Hold up. We gotta not move away from this. Vic Vergara is on top of your face.
What the hell? Are
we like right now?
What? You're the one who said that, not me. I don't know. I don't think so. My face. I don't know. Oh god. I want to go back to talk about Max Payne now. I want to move away from this.
You want to move away from Ben Kuchera?
Because you can't play Max Payne in the Wii.
Okay, yes, Wii games. So let's go ahead and you know what? Let's talk about our list. Let's go down the list and talk about it.
Well, we can go down. Yeah, we can go down the list. I was actually just going to ask everyone what their favorite game on the list is, but we could just go down the list. Yeah,
let's just go down the list and talk about it.
All right. One that kind of surprised me because I didn't expect anyone else to get behind is Boomblocks Bash Party, which is the second Steven Spielberg. produced, I guess, game that EA put out for the Wii.
Yeah, and last.
Yeah, and the first, second, and last. Yep.
Yeah. So I here's the thing about that game. I think it will be great to have going forward because there are a huge, huge number of motion-based minigame collections for the Wii.
There are?
And a lot of them are really bad. And that's why I think maybe people aren't paying as much attention to that game in the context of now. Because yeah. We're just tired of that. But the thing is, people kept making them because that's the kind of thing that you do on that system. And Boomblocks Bash
that's kind of a
is kind of like the best one.
It is.
It's better than any of those, what?
Carnival games.
Carnival games and... Game Party and Game Party 2 and Game Party 3.
No, right now all of those are on the Kinect. They moved away from the Wii and they're on the Kinect. And then
yes.
Maybe come back for the Wii U. Yeah.
I really wouldn't be surprised if there was another Boomblocks.
Yeah. Kinect. Maybe. That would actually be decent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think what surprised me is because I was interested in the first Boomblocks because, of course, when that one came out, it was still in that period where we weren't at least I wasn't entirely sick of minigame collections, or at least things that tried to do something interesting with the Wii, with the motion controls in general. So I was like, I'm just going to give this a chance. And I was surprised by how much time I sunk into it.
And also, you know, with those games, a lot of, even then we kind of knew a lot of them were cash-ins, but this one was EA and it was Steven Spielberg and clearly they were putting some marketing money behind it. So like it had the budget to be pretty good.
There were magazine ads of the game that just was a picture of Steven Spielberg holding the game. I'm not joking, by the way. So he was really behind it, I guess.
Literally. I mean, if you were in front of the game, you wouldn't see it in the ad.
well, unless it was on his shoulders, just happened to be behind his head.
How about if it were on his face? If his face were big enough. If he had a big enough face, then you could see his face.
Well, that just sounds like a dumb face.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
Big dumb one, yeah. But I think that Bash Party does enough to kind of...
It fixes the things that made the original Boomblocks give you muscle strains.
Yes, that was like throwing baseballs at zombies. That
I mean, it was really cool until...
Until your arm fell off and then you couldn't do anything for a week.
You really need five days rest before your next start, you know.
When your arm falls off, it's kind of hard to do a lot of things, so.
Yeah.
But honestly, if there's any, like, real... Besides maybe Kirby, which we'll get to next, if there's any really good kind of co-op play family games, that one is probably the best.
Also, you're probably going to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
In your family, which makes it the best.
That is the criteria we use when we put it on the list.
Yes. It's like,
will someone be hurt while playing this game? Yes? All right. It makes it automatically.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, next on the list is Kirby's Epic Yarn, which I think we also had. Did we also have Return to Dreamland as one of the potentials?
I think Epic Yarn was the only Kirby game on the list.
I think, you know, Return to Dreamland was a pretty good Kirby game.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty good Kirby game, and the way previous Kirby games have been really good Kirby games, and Kirby games in the future could very well just be that again, except for probably a little more, you know. It seemed like a logical progression from, say, Dreamland 3 or what have you. And it was a good game, but I think we'll see other Kirby games in the future. But Epic Yarn isn't really a Kirby game. It's really kind of, you know, it doesn't use Kirby mechanics, really. No. And it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, I love the look of that game.
And in a way that will age beautifully, because that's the advantage the Wii has, is it already has dated visuals, so they're having to design based on that. And that's what makes, I think, you know, back when we did our Best to Play Now series, a lot of those really late system games made those lists because, you know, if the next system was, you know, about to release or already out, then, like, they had to do something different and not just as impressive as they could do now, but something distinct to really make it great. And, you know, Kirby's Epic Yarn can do that without having to be at the end of the system's life because it was already kind of dealing with the next gen because it never entered it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
and such a great game. It's just adorable.
Except for those, like, the cutscenes are a little bit. Cutscenes are fine by yourself.
I love.
But then when like another adult walks in and sees you watching what essentially seems like, you know, Nick Jr. narration, like, so Kirby and Prince Fluff went along to the Candy Mountain. Like, okay, we're gonna stop this now, right?
We did it.
What are you doing?
We got the magic yarn.
Yes.
The magic yarn.
The magic yarn. Yes.
Yeah. But I have to admit, you can make teddy bears very happy in that game.
Great.
the picture of the teddy bear on the anyway.
Okay, next game.
Another one that I'm surprised made the list because I kind of thought that I was the only one who really liked this game in the world. But I guess not.
Did you not read my review?
This is before my time, so no, I probably did not read your review. Zack and Wiki, Quest for Barbaros Treasure.
Right. Barbaros with the bad plural punctuation possessive. But yes.
Right.
Correct.
Before Traveler Tales put out like the Sam and Max collections and the Back of the Future on WiiWare and whatnot, I was hurting for like the good old fashioned LucasArts point and click adventure type thing.
And really everyone was. I mean, right. Before that kind of stuff came, I mean, this was really before it even had, I mean, I think maybe the first season of Sam and Max was out on PC, but that one really, I mean, it was really good, but I don't think anyone really, I mean, people played it, but not at the scale people did.
Like a couple of DS games, like maybe Trace Memory might have been out by that point.
Yeah, but really that second generation of DS point and clicks wasn't out yet either with all the really impressive stuff.
Hotel Dust Forward.
So yeah, the point and click genre was basically dead.
Right, and Zack and Wiki came along, took that basic concept, threw a whole bunch of puzzles at you, made it ridiculously cute, but still challenging. And Capcom's like the first third party title put out for the Wii that was really worth even paying any attention to at all, but nobody did.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it was probably put out, I can't remember when this came out. I think it was like the end of the year. Was it end of the year? Whenever the year it actually released.
Probably.
Yeah, so it probably was put out at a bad time. It was a game like you say, Chris, in your little write up. It's mascot and sidekick subtitle game.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus, Zack and Wiki, Quest of Barbarossa's Treasure. They must be the same game.
And Zack and Wiki in particular does seem like this is based on like a Disney Channel show Like what?
But you get this little robot monkey that you shake the remote and it becomes a bell. That's got to be like Saturday morning kids WB stuff.
Yeah. Yep. So it came out for the Wii, which is probably the best place it could have come out for, not just because of the motion controls, but because it was catering to that audience. But at the same time, I think that audience was too busy with, I don't know, whatever else was out at the time. And it just,
But here's the good news. Here's the good news, everyone. Unlike a lot of the games that were overlooked when they released and you like can't get them now because they stopped making them and they're expensive, this thing is dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like buy $5.
Yeah. It just retailed for like less than the normal $50 too. It started.
Yeah, I think it was $40. Yeah.
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 So everyone should buy like 5 copies. Is what we're saying.
At this point, maybe 1 copy.
Well, I'm not.
But you should buy 5 copies and give them to people.
Yeah.
But keep one for yourself, because
of course.
Unless you already own it, in which case.
Keep one for yourself.
Find a fifth person.
In which case, buy 7 copies and then give them all away. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how math works.
As many as possible.
Okay.
It's just such a charming game, and I will admit I did have some trouble with some of the Wiimote controls, but for the most part it handles them really well. And I think that was the first game that tried to use a ton of different things with motion controls and actually succeeded at doing them.
Yeah, it kept them pretty simple.
Yeah, exactly. Point, it was like basically. Yeah. But there were some
twists.
Dumb things.
And
yeah.
Whatever.
Oh yeah.
But so, yeah. Okay.
To a game I'm sure no one's heard of, Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Sequel to an obscure indie title.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember our review of that game. Me and another writer we had then, we got together and it's like, all right, we're going to review this thing. So we took turns playing and like got it done in a sitting. It was a really long sitting. it was like 16 hours or something. I don't think we completed everything, but we beat the final boss. But like that game's pretty great. Basically, I think the advantage it has of being the second version of it meant that they could just, you know, not worry about creating an overworld, not worry about establishing mechanics, just make good levels with them, and just, there you go, here's some levels, we put them on a disc, they're pretty good levels, buy it.
Yeah, Yoshi's there, you like Yoshi, right?
I do like Yoshi.
Yeah, exactly.
In that game, for that matter. I believe that is my favorite use of Yoshi as a supporting character.
Me too, although Mario World is still up there. Because I just love that game. But, you know,
I guess basically the only thing I was ruling out was Mario World.
Okay. But yeah.
Having, like, the Yoshi riding in that game works really well, despite the fact that it really shouldn't in 3D.
Yeah. I was surprised. I think he was in before that, the last Mario, major Mario game he was in was Sunshine, and where he was barely used at all.
Sunshine.
I like Sunshine a lot, though.
It's okay.
I like it.
It's a good game. It's not a good game in the context of Mario games. But it's a good game.
It is.
Just kind of like, they should bring back that thing from Sunshine. No, probably not.
That game did look gorgeous, though.
Sure.
But Galaxy 2 is fantastic.
Yeah, we don't need to tell them that. They know. You know.
And if you don't know, now you do. All right, so the next game...
If you don't know, you just did, so now you do. So if you don't, then you're an aberration in reality.
If you own a Wii, chances are you already own that game. So, yeah, there you go.
What, are you guys talking to me now? Aberrations in reality?
Sean's still here, people.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, so the only WiiWare title on the list, I think it's probably the best exclusive.
To be there.
Is Lost Winds, Winter of the Melodious? Yeah, something like
Lost
that.
Lost Winds 2.
Yes. Yeah.
Other Lost Winds.
The second one.
Which really should have been Found Winds, but that's just me.
You do, yeah.
But no, I think we should clarify that game actually just got released on iOS like this week. It's last week.
So you told me because I was considering not putting it on the list because I heard about the iOS versions and you told me that the iOS versions were not good because of the lack.
They are not bad.
Okay.
But they are better on the Wii. The motion control as envisioned on the Wii is the way that game was designed.
Yeah, exactly.
The touchscreen is fine, but it works better as gestures than as swipes.
Having actual on top of the motion
it's
stuff.
It's designed to be fluid. It's designed to be you're moving your air in like your arm in space.
Yeah. And on top of that it's nice to actually probably have actual, you know, controls, actual buttons and stuff along with that stuff. I think the first game was fun. I would consider it more of a tech demo with a really nice art style.
But the first game the first game was why people thought WiiWare was going to be successful.
Oh, yeah. I was one of those.
It was the first one that came out that was like, that's really impressive, and I want more of that.
Yes. And then they didn't give it to us until almost 2 years later, and then we never saw the franchise again except on iOS. So
we may see another one because, again, somehow money is there, or at least more money than is on WiiWare.
True. I hope that if there is another one that it comes out on something that's not just iOS. Although it probably will just, but anyway.
eShop that sucker.
I hope so.
On the Wii U.
Wii U is perfect for the Wii U, too.
Don't put that game in the Kinect. Don't do it. Don't do it.
How about the Move?
Shut up. Keep moving. What you got?
That game will look nice in HD, though. But anyway, yes. Yeah, so Lost Wind's really, really, really good downloadable. I think everyone should check out the WiiWare version specifically if you haven't already. Next, we have the Metroid Prime Trilogy. I think we originally were just going to say, you know, Metroid Prime 3, but then we realized, well, the trilogy is that plus two other games with better controls. So,
and it's going to be hard, at the hardest thing to find.
Oh, it's probably already is hard. It already is.
It's already ridiculous, but now I think that occasionally you can stumble across that, like, store that doesn't really know what they're doing that still has it on the shelf behind six
exactly.
things. Be on the lookout.
I found it in a GameStop for $20 used.
Yeah.
Yeah, my GameStop is selling it for $70 used.
Yep.
It really depends if they know how much it's worth and how hard it is to find.
Yeah. But yeah, Chris, you're kind of our resident Metroid Prime expert.
Yeah, I'm cheating every time I talk about this game because I didn't actually play much of the trilogy. I own it and I played a little bit of Prime to see how the new controls work, but I'm just basically coasting off the fact that I've played all three of these games and they're all awesome. So I don't need to play them again. But
in the trilogy, they are basically unchanged.
Yeah. Right. There's like a few graphical things here and there. And
yeah, but the controls, basically.
Like the slight adjustment to the control, but nothing significant. But well, yeah, it's...
Aside from the fact that they're motion-based now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying like you don't have the two thumbsticks for switching visors or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to use the same gestures you kind of used in Corruption.
Prime 3 controls in the first two.
Yeah, but anybody who used Corruption, I didn't find too many people complaining about that control scheme. It was much more praise than it was griping, which is unusual for internet gamers.
Yeah, Metroid Prime 3 is probably the best first-person game on the Wii. So I guess it's no surprise. It's right. Nintendo. And,
really?
Yeah.
Well, wait, it was better than The Conduit?
It was better than The Conduit 2?
Conduit 2 did have a great ending.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything else.
Space Lincoln. I don't.
Spoilers. I mean, come on.
I don't care. No one's going to play that game unless they know a Space Lincoln is coming.
By someone,
so. No, they still won't play it.
They should have just put Space Lincoln on the box.
And just called it Space Lincoln.
Space Lincoln.
Conduit 2.
It would have sold more copies then.
But yeah. We're currently, as we record this podcast, we are currently in the process of processing our best GameCube games, Don't Forever, like I mentioned in the blurb for Trilogy, and we're not mentioning Prime because it's been done and done better on this new version.
This is the one you should get.
Yeah, even if you have to pay a little extra, I think it's worth it considering the quality you got there.
And you get all three of them when you
get all three
the price
them.
You're
all
getting.
Discs, all. Assuming you can read dual layer discs,
which I'm sure the Wii U will be able to do.
Right.
It won't have GameCube backwards compatibility. That's pretty certain, but it will have Wii backwards compatibility. So play it.
So the first of I think two games that probably would make our list above most other people's lists.
I don't want to hear it. They are wrong.
Yeah, I know they're wrong. I'm just saying we're the right ones here. This is the first.
Zach and Wiki kind of already.
Oh yeah, well there's Zach and Wiki too, but I think based on how much we talked about these two games in particular, the first one being Rhythm Heaven Fever.
Tell you what, listening to you guys talk about it on the podcast made me buy this game.
Really?
And then did you like it?
I did, and that made me buy the DS version, which I now regret. But that's
we didn't recommend that. just to be clear.
It wasn't bad. The games where you don't flick, those were fine.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is you can find that, like, they produced way too many copies of that, so the DS version is like really easy to find, and it has some redeemable qualities.
It's
not
bad.
Some Heaven Fever good.
Yes.
But yeah, it's not. Yeah, or good, as good as the original, which if you can import, then you should. But yeah, Rhythm Heaven Fever, that game is still
high fiving monkeys. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have another game that lets me high five monkeys.
Yeah.
Unless you count people as monkeys, which they are. So. Any game that lets you high five anyone, which, what are games that let you high five? Is that a thing you can do in Iron Brigade? Can you?
Portal 2.
But you can, but those are not monkeys.
Do those games also let you play badminton from biplanes?
No.
No.
Oh, well, then they don't count.
There we go.
Yeah.
So
Rhythm Heaven Fever. Do whatever Donk Donk is.
Donk Donk. Donk Donk.
Yep.
Yeah, so Rhythm Heaven Fever, the best game that involves high-fiving monkeys and playing badminton from airplanes.
Yeah. I like to think that the mini game with the pigs practicing for the board meeting and being in a board meeting where they are showing off. Aren't they pigs?
They're pigs and bulldogs. I'm not sure.
Are
they pigs? I'm pretty sure they're pigs.
All right.
Yeah, I think they're pigs. I like to think that was how the actual pitch meeting went for this game. Is someone just taught some pigs how to spin in chairs and like this game? Clearly, you want us to make this game. I would.
But can I throw pots at a karate man like I could last time? Yes, you can.
Okay, well then we're good.
Yep.
We're flexible on that. We can put that in. It's okay. We'll have to talk about specifics on that later. But we'll green light this thing because we'll look at these pigs.
Yeah. Yep. Look at these pigs. That is how a lot of games should be greenlit.
And hey, we made you this watch. It's got 61 monkeys in it.
Whoa. I want a monkey watch.
Okay.
I wrestling interview.
I wish they'd actually do like if there was some way they can make a watch that looks like the monkeys pop out. With like a screen or something in there,
I wouldn't want to wear it outside though, because I'd be scared it'd break. I would just like keep it in a case and just look at it every so often and just be like, yeah, that's awesome.
I could just keep my whole self in a case. I could keep moving on with my life. Just encase my arm with the watch in there and be like, hey, look at this thing.
Yeah, in case you're playing Boom Blocks.
Oh, whatever.
In case you're playing Boom Blocks, your arm falls off with the watch, and then the watch breaks. You know.
Yeah, it's protected.
Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition.
That's a game.
Speaking of first-person shooters.
Oh no,
this isn't first. This is over the shoulder. I'm sorry. That's
yes.
I was gonna say, but okay. So
shooters still.
I think I put this down, and then Graham's like, "Hey, doesn't the HD edition on PS3 have move support?" And I had to look it up just to confirm. But no, sadly, it does not.
Which is dumb, by the way.
It is dumb. It's the dumbest thing.
Like, why not? Why did you not do that?
That was pretty much the deciding factor of whether or not this should be on the list.
It's weird because they've done that every other time. Like, they did that with, what, Dead Space Extraction?
Yeah.
They did that with No More Heroes.
RE5 had move support.
Right. Like,
yeah. Like,
and, like, you already have the control system designed. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. So you have to go back to the Wii because it's better.
Yeah, even if the game does not look too great on the Wii, to be honest. But, you know, it's a dated game anyway. But what you're playing that game for the excellent atmosphere and the just amazing action. And it is still the best in the series. I don't care what anyone says. And
I don't think anyone's disagreeing with you right now.
Yeah, and the Wii version is the best version because, sure, you might not want to play with the motion controls, but the game has controller support and has all the content of every other version. The only difference is it's not in HD, but I think the motion controls are what make that the version because they work so well for that game.
And especially if, as most people believe will happen, the Wii U will upscale at least in some way.
Yeah, so it'll look nice on the Wii U, I'm sure.
Yep, so it'll be close enough, and you can use this controller, and it's a pretty good game, so buy that one.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you could probably find it about, how much is RE4 on the PS3, like 10 bucks?
20.
20? Yeah. 20. You can get the version from Amazon for 10 bucks.
Brand new.
There you go.
So
that is the version to buy. Okay.
I also heard that the HD visuals weren't that good for the RE4 anyway.
And hey, if you're going to buy it on Amazon, you can always support us through the link on our website at snackbar-games.com.
Use the affiliate link and buy all of these games right now.
It'd be great.
Especially if you get Metro Prime Trilogy, because that'll give us a nice cut.
While you're at it, if you don't own a Wii, you know, do that too.
Yep. And a TV. Yep. And a TV. A spare TV because you're going to be playing Boom Blocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Spare controllers too while you're at it, in that case.
Yeah, because Boom Blocks is 4 players. So.
Yep.
Anyway, you might throw one.
Seven controllers.
And a
zapper. Get a zapper. It's funny. It's funny to get a zapper.
See, I'm laughing.
It's a conversation piece.
Hey,
moving on.
You have a zapper? Yes, I do.
I do.
Okay. Skyward Sword.
Speaking of zappers, I mean, there's crossbow training, but it's still.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well,
I'm making an executive decision that I don't have the power to make right now. We're switching Skyward Sword with
Link's Crossbow Training.
Link's Crossbow Training, because that is the best Zelda game.
Well, one we've talked about.
Quorum, yeah, we have a Quorum here. Yeah.
So, yeah. Skyward Sword.
We talked about that pretty recently.
Yes, we have. Moving on.
Skyward Sword is really good.
Yep.
So
another game that we've talked about, but maybe not in the podcast. I don't think this predates our podcast, right?
Yes, this is the other game I was talking about. That seems like it would probably only make our list.
This game is our flagship title, frankly.
No, Flying Dragon for the N64 is our flagship title.
No, that's your flagship title.
That's Chris. That is editor in chief and founder Chris Rasko's flagship title, and we follow his lead.
Okay, all right. Well, yes. A close second would be Silent Wars, So Long, My Love.
Yes.
Absolutely. Also, put on the PS2 if you don't want to get the Wii version.
It's,
but either way,
it's like the best game.
Yes,
and there's nothing like it in the U.S. And because you guys didn't buy it the first time, there won't be anything like it. So this is the one you need to buy. And
I hate you, but you should buy this.
Yep.
I bought it because you told me to.
Good. Did you play it?
Not yet.
But play it. Well,
I bought it when I bought Xenoblade, which I also haven't played.
Play Soccer Wars first. It's shorter.
Yeah, play Soccer Wars first because Xenoblade ends much.
Longer.
Slowly. Yeah.
Xenoblade will take you 2 months. Soccer Wars will probably take you less than a month.
My save file in Xenoblade is at 119 hours right now.
You played more than me then. I think I peaked at around 80.
Well, I had to take 2 weeks off in the middle to get my Wii repaired.
But you left it on while the Wii was repairing? Or...
But, yeah, so what can we say about Soccer Wars? I mean, it is a
social... Basically buy it.
Buy it.
It's a dating sim featuring giant mech combat.
Yeah. It is a dating, it's a dating sim. You know, it's not even really like, I mean, there is a date in it.
But it is more dating sim than it is RPG. Sadly.
It's not an RPG. Let's be clear. This game is not an RPG.
No.
This is a half visual novel, half strategy game.
Social simulator.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
With action.
It's really more about making friends with the other characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the more they like you, the better they are in combat. And they do that instead of, like, grinding as you would in, like, a, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics or Advance Wars or what have you. And there's also, only about... Not that many battles in this game.
Less than 10.
There's about one per chapter. Some have, some split the battles in half. And then the last...
And the battles are pretty big. Like, there'll be, like, two or three part battles.
Yeah, the last chapter is, like, five battles, which is kind of a bit much...
Yeah.
But I think
the game doesn't overstay its welcome by any stretch of the imagination.
But it's a lot of fun. I think as someone who doesn't really like strategy RPGs, Soccer Wars is just a ton of fun. Mostly because it removes the grinding. Because you know, like
just bring on the giant mechs and let my girls do their damage.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the game.
We all love Soccer Wars, and we will continue to love it.
Yeah. I am giving in on hope for 1 and 2 to be localized, and I ordered an import copy of 1 and 2 for the PSP. So I'm gonna play it that way because I have to, because this game was so good and you didn't buy it. So buy it now.
Let us know how much you can't understand.
Okay.
Okay.
Probably most of it.
All right. So
I can lend you the TV series. You can at least get the characters understood.
There you go.
I'm interested in that actually.
I've heard good things. So Punch Out, which is, I believe it or not, I think is my favorite game on this list. Soccer Wars being a close second. Yes,
it's the only one I've played on this list.
What's that?
It's the only one on this list I have played.
Well, you talk about it,
John. You suck.
Hey, I own three of them.
That's one of the only ones on this list I haven't played.
I guess we should have clarified in the list that you're also supposed to play them because games are fun. But I thought it was a given that
it says fun.
Yeah, it's not just games to own forever. You should also should be best Wii games to own forever and then play.
Yeah, you should open them probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think Punch Out is my favorite Wii game.
Okay.
I really like the way that the motion controls adapted to the game style.
See, that's the thing. I didn't. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't once use the motion controls.
That's perfectly legitimate. That's even better.
Because it is Punch-Out for the NES, but with updated graphics and you know, just new fighters to fight.
One new fighter and a couple variations thereof.
But new strategies for the old fighters as well.
Yes.
It is different enough. that it becomes it is as good as the original, okay. If not better.
You play the title.
I didn't like the original. I liked this one.
You play the title defense mode. They make Glass Joe a threat.
Yeah. He knocked me down once.
And so not only do they really add a lot of replay value to this game, I think, you know, you were talking about the motion controls. I really think basically playing this game with the motion controls and playing this game without the motion controls, they're basically two different games.
Yeah, exactly.
They're very similar, but like you play them and it feels a lot different, and it basically you can play it either way and it's not that redundant.
Can't you also use the balance board?
You can.
Well, let's not talk about that.
In case you really want to go all out, then...
hold up. Since we're talking about the Wii, is there a game that makes the balance board worth using?
Sean White's snowboarding, maybe? I don't know.
That was really pretty bad.
Okay. Then probably not.
Yeah.
Wii Fit is not a game, correct?
Wii Fit Plus actually had a lot of fun stuff to it. They added more game stuff to that one. And that there's Segway Polo, I think. Weird. Also, yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think, is there anything that redeems the balance board as a gaming device? Mm. Certainly, the Raving Rabbids, that one where you just sat on it. Yeah, oh. TV party. Those were really bad.
I don't think anyone owns the balance board for anything but Wii Fit. Which, that's fine.
Really quick on the motion controls with Punch Out. Using them gives you that visceral feeling that, when I did the... games that weren't for Project Hammer. It was just smashing things with a hammer with a Wii remote. It seemed like such a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
And this is basically... You actually feel like you're punching the people.
I feel like this is your vendetta.
Yeah.
Wasn't there some game, some superhero game you're doing? Why didn't they just let me smash things with a Wii remote? Wasn't there something?
Probably Captain America or Thor.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Whoever wrote the Thor of you might have said that, but I didn't. Captain America, you could nunchuck the shield, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Nunchuck the shield,
man. All right. So we finishing out the list here?
The final game on the list, which is Xenoblade Chronicles.
Talked
a lot about, so there's really not much else
to say.
But
on a per-hour basis, we're still under par, I think.
Yeah. What a bunch of jokers.
It's Ryan time. Euro time.
So, for people like us who apparently don't know anything about JRPGs, it made our list.
We don't
know anything about them.
Yes.
But
I don't know who wrote this, but he signed his name on it.
Yep.
So it's again, I don't think we could just really reiterate what we've said a million times. It is not the most original JRPG in a long time. It's just the one that does the most right. So, yep. Honestly, that's all you really need. If you like JRPGs and you haven't played this yet...
And the thing is, it is an enormous time investment. It is not one of those, quick sit-down play. This is huge, and it has the depth it needs for you to want to spend that much time on it.
Exactly.
Really tough to do, really.
So everyone who's already played Rhythm Heaven, which I hope is everyone, I hope so. If not, then, we were telling you to buy it earlier, so do that.
Yeah.
But you're saying, hey, I have this Wii system and nothing to play on it.
Then that's not true. Liar.
Xenoblade Chronicles, and that'll last you the rest of the year. And if you happen to finish that before the year's over, then you'll have another RPG.
Yes. Last story that we'll talk about in July. Probably. All right.
Is there anything that didn't make the list you guys would have liked to have seen maybe sneak in there? I'm looking at my collection right now, and I'm actually kind of sad that I didn't mention Muramasa the Demon Blade in the document at all. I don't know how that slipped past me.
Yeah,
Donkey Kong Country Returns not make it?
I mean, there's more than 12 games worth owning on the Wii, despite
but like ones that you think this will be a special thing I need to come back to. Like Donkey Kong Country Returns was a good Donkey Kong Country game. I mean, there are four of them.
Mm-hmm. Can we just nominate the whole New Super Mario Brothers Wii sort of style as something that's
I mean, I loved that game. And I know you guys didn't so much.
I liked it a lot.
But 20 million people agree with me. So.
No, but I mean, I think me and you like it for different reasons, Graham. I liked it as a really, really solid single-player Mario game.
It's not a single-player Mario game.
It is a single-player Mario
game. It's huge levels. You don't need to play it single-player ever.
I that's how I played it. Although I did play some co-op. Let's be fair. I enjoyed the co-op enough.
With four people the entire way through, the first time and the only time?
No.
See, then I didn't experience it.
I did play with four
game.
People for about a world and a half.
Okay.
Maybe two worlds.
Co-op is in quotations in that game.
Yeah, but in a way, it's fun how incompetent your friends can be.
Yeah.
Like when you get through the final levels, why did you just push us all off that thing?
It's a fun game no matter how you want to play it, is what I'm saying. It's almost like two completely different games if you play single player or co-op. For me, I think the one that I'm sad about, but I know I'm the only one here who has played it, is the Skycrawlers, which continues to surprise me how much I like that game, which I thought would just be a decent flight sim, or not flight sim, but flight combat game.
Yeah.
That actually used motion controls really well. And was a lot of fun and reminded me a lot of Ace Combat, which I also love. So.
It is certainly on my list of things to maybe pick up soon.
Yeah.
It's one of those I on my going the rounds and checking clearance bins, it is in there but not cheap yet and in large number. So I'm holding off. That's gonna hit $8. I know it is.
It's really good though. I can't obviously add it to the list now, but if I had to add anyone, that would be it. I think the
list.
Yeah.
It is a very good game. The games we have on this list absolutely deserve to be there.
Oh yeah, no. I mean like not removing any of them. I mean like adding on to it. Like if there were 13 games, that would be
my 74 games now.
I would have liked to see Chocobo Dungeon on it, but I think I'm the only one that actually likes it.
That game was okay.
That's a good game. It's a good game. I can't see that being the best roguelike of all time. You know what I'm saying? Though
on the Wii though, or are there?
Is
even
it better than
Shiren
the Wanderer? Is that what you're asking me?
I was gonna ask that.
Is it better than Shiren the Wanderer? Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon on the Wii? I don't know.
There was, but it was Japan only.
Okay.
And it would be better.
And it was WiiWare. And it wouldn't actually, because those games are pretty good, except for the fact that they're the same game three times.
I played the DS one. It wasn't as good as the as Chocobo Dungeon.
Well, isn't Pokemon the same game five times at this point?
No.
No. I don't want to hear it.
Quiet.
No.
Yes, but no.
but yeah, probably.
I own all of them. Just wondering.
Pedometer thing that you would clip to yourself and look like a dork.
I just put it in my pocket.
Yeah, I just put it in my pocket. It's fun when I was judging.
I didn't pull the pin out.
I took it.
Still in a drawer. I have it.
Every Pokemon game is the same except Pokemon Conquest. That'll be the first one.
That will be different.
Yes, it will.
I want that game so badly. I want that game so bad. Okay.
Hey, the last one had PETA questions in it. So
that is.
Can you eat a PETA? What do you want in your PETA?
Honestly, it kind of makes me wonder when is Pokemon Conquest come out?
June.
Yeah. So it makes me wonder if we should hold. I know we probably won't even get to it by then anyway, but if we should hold off for the DS list to just
yeah, I mean, we can always revise these later. Like we did this Wii list, and the last story is not out here. And
yes.
I don't know if it would make it. I feel like it may not. It would probably be a very good game, but I don't know.
Do you want me to say if it would make the list?
I don't know. I don't want you to say that. Okay. We'll decide later.
Okay. All right.
If it wins Wii Game of the Year, then we'll talk about it. You know.
Okay. All right. Right. Yes, because then it would have to win over two games that are on the list. That's true.
Or new play control Pikmin 2 might make it. I don't know.
I do want that because Pikmin 2 on the GameCube is way
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Pikmin 2 is better than Pikmin because it doesn't have that dumb time requirement.
Yeah.
So the new play control did good things for the original Pikmin. So maybe
I want that just because I've never played Pikmin before.
Plus, it's only $20.
What?
You ever played any Pikmin before?
Nope. I didn't have
Pikmin before.
I could not play GameCube games until I got a Wii.
Well, you've had
a Wii for a long time now.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. It's the new. I never found Pikmin games for sale.
they released a retail product.
Yeah, but, I never saw it. I never saw Prime Trilogy until I saw it used.
Well, at least that was a limited release. To play Control Pac-Man was pretty, I guess, a normal thing. You go into a store.
Well, the one that's coming out for in June, Pikmin 2, is only going to be $20. So
yes, because it is starting in the Nintendo Selects line. Only Nintendo Selects. Yeah. I'm wondering if they're going to have the reversible covers like they did for the new Play Control series.
I hope so, because I hated the cover, the actual main cover of the new Play Controls. I just always reverse them.
Yeah, okay. You know, of course, that trick is that the Nintendo Selects have the little crown and the spine.
Do you have any? I don't own any.
I do. I have. I rebought Super Paper Mario. I had it and got rid of it when I was a student and had no money.
You know, yeah. You could probably print off a cover and.
Hey,
is that cover project.
Yeah, our friends over at the Cover Project, part of the illustrious Snack Bar Media Network, have lots of covers for you. If you have games on a shelf.
Plenty of covers.
Yeah, they do.
Almost, lots and lots of colors.
Almost covers. Too many covers.
No.
Okay. Never enough covers.
They're missing a few. I'm working on it. They don't have all the covers yet. But they have a lot of covers. So I've actually been doing that. I've been recasing a lot of my collection now that I have space for media cases and stuff like that. Also been, you know, trying to, you know, as this list is trying to help you, as, you know, kind of the last generation of consoles and the current, well, I guess past at this point, generation of handhelds starts going away from stores, it's kind of the last chance to pick up things. So I get a little less picky and get the things without the cases or without the covers and I fix them up.
I hope eventually Skycrawlers is one of those games.
If I buy that, it will probably be new and sealed because no one played that game.
Okay. Except me.
Yep. Yep. I don't feel really as bad about that as I do about Soccer Wars, because there are other flight games.
Oh yeah, Soccer Wars is the better game, but like, yeah.
There are other things that fit that kind of game that you can play.
This has been a long podcast, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been.
Yes, okay. So we're gonna wrap things up. All right, for Jeff, Sean, Andrew, and Chris, I'm Graham. See you next time for our pre-E3 podcast. Whoa, woo. Guys, it's that time.
I can't believe it.
All right, see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at snackbargames.